The shale drilling rush has been built on a fundamentally shaky financial platform, right? So what you have are companies that have generated these large debts and therefore are vulnerable. But if you're only paying attention to volume, it's very easy to miss the fact that these companies have not been self-funding, right? So historically, you might have had a company like ExxonMobil. They were able to continue drilling readily with the revenue that they produced from drilling the last oil and gas well. That's no longer the case with a lot of shale oil and gas companies, right? What they call exploration and production companies. They are no longer able to drill a new well using only the funds that they generated, the profits that they generated from the last well that they had drilled. And you have to match that reality up with the fact that shale oil and gas wells produce oil and gas volumes in a different pattern than a lot of conventional oil and gas wells. So an individual shale well might have a very impressive, what they call initial production rate. So immediately after the well comes online, you see this huge flood of oil and gas pouring out from the wellhead. In a shale well, you can see production declines of up to 80% within the first year. So you get this big burst of production and then a rapid decline in the amount that's flowing from an individual well. So you cannot simply sort of cease drilling and maintain production. Structurally, the shale market has to continually drill new oil and gas wells just to keep production flat.
When you're talking about this 80% decrease, now they have to actually keep that well maintained and make sure nothing's going wrong with it when it's actually not producing that much. So does that kind of rack up additional expenses for things that aren't generating a lot of profit over time?
I don't know to what extent the maintenance cost, that's a very good question, of shale wells are really sort of like the bulk of the expenditures. You know, when it comes to maintenance, what you're talking about is like, for example, in the Permian Basin, you might see a shale oil well might produce 8 gallons of wastewater for every gallon of oil that it's producing. You know, some wells more, some wells less, but you see a significant amount of wastewater that comes to the surface along with that oil and gas. And so you have to do something with that wastewater, right? You have to, figure out ways to dispose of it. These are sort of ongoing operational costs. But I think if your aim is to just keep U.S. production flat or increasing, right, which is what you would want to do if your aim was to achieve energy independence or energy dominance, then I think a bigger cost is that continued required reinvestment in new drilling, new fracking, new wells, which is a very, you're talking about millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars for each round. So, there are significant expenses associated with that. And it's not clear that you can actually earn enough money to cover those costs. Historically, they've not been able to do that.
If all of these new wells are being created and they're all creating this produced water, the flowback or the wastewater that is known to contain toxic chemicals in certain areas of the country, even radioactive elements. If there is this collapse in the oil market and all of those wells are still generating all of this wastewater, are they going to be financially capable of making sure that they don't continue producing all of this toxic waste and not have the resources to be able to manage it?
I think when you have companies that are doing hazardous work that are under serious financial strain, it's an important time to be vigilant for any attempt to cut corners on environmental compliance, right? And particularly the environmental compliance issues that might put the public health further at risk. So, I think there are structural reasons to be concerned about or to be monitoring and keeping an eye on what companies are actually doing on the ground in order to cut costs. One area where the consequences could be consequential for many members of the public is when it comes to if there are cut corners on, not just on wastewater, also on air pollution and et cetera.
How much debt is the industry in, really? And is there a precedent for that in this industry or in other industries? When you're in that much debt, what are the implications of that?
So I think if you would ask somebody in the oil and gas industry about this, maybe like 5, 6 years ago, right, what they would say to you is we shouldn't be concerned about a lack of free cash flow, because what we're doing is we are going out and we are making the investments that we need to in order to generate long-term growth. I think, you know, that's not uncommon in business. The difference is that for several years now, the shale drilling industry has said, we're about to turn the corner, we're about to generate free cash flow and move to a point where we sort of shift to stage two of that model. And you have not seen that actually happen at most companies during most quarters over the last couple of years. You know, you've seen companies fail to reach free cash flow. So, you know, if you can't get to that point, the model fails. Yeah.
Well, Sharon Kelly, I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate your time as well.